The scripture reading today is from John chapter 1, verses 6 to 13. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you please bow in prayer with me? Heavenly Father, we know that we cannot live in the light without your help, and so, Lord, we ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would open our minds and you would soften our hearts, that we might be able to hear these words, to understand them by your grace, and to open ourselves in obedience and love to you and receive you and all that comes with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this year, during the season of Advent, we've been looking at the opening verses of John's Gospel, and we've been asking the question, who is Jesus? And the reason why we're asking this question is because, as you may remember, Advent means coming, and that it's pretty hard to desire Jesus to come if we don't really, or we're at least kind of foggy on who he is. But if we're clear, or at least more clear, on who it is that's coming to us, we will feel excitement for his coming, and we will be careful to take appropriate action without having to be prompted or prodded or arm-twisted into doing it, which is what I hope we all want to do. So who is this Jesus, this one who is coming? Well, last week we looked at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and we learned that Jesus is the Word of God in whom is both life and light. And we learned that the life and light that are in Jesus cannot be separated from him. In other words, we cannot receive the light, that is, an understanding of the truth, without at the same time receiving the life that Jesus brings with him, nor can we separate that light and life from Jesus himself. We cannot receive life and light, in other words, without also receiving Jesus. It's a package deal, John has been telling us. Life and light are in Jesus. And therefore, we can't know who Jesus is without both receiving him and the life that he is bringing with him. Until we do that, we are still in darkness. We don't yet have the light. And the text read to us this morning emphasizes the main thing that gets in the way of our receiving the light that is in Jesus Christ. And I think it can be summed up like this. We don't want a package deal. Okay? We don't want a package deal. We want to have light, knowledge, apart from Jesus and apart from receiving anything from him that might put us in his debt. Or to put it plainly in modern language, we want to define and discover the truth ourselves. We want to do it. That, I believe, is what Adam and Eve chose to do when they ate the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the Garden of Eden. They wanted, we're told, to be like God. They wanted to be making those kind of decisions, to decide what is right and what is wrong, to make the choice of, well, that is darkness and this is light. And I think every single one of us human beings still wants that same thing. We actually don't want the package deal. We want to be able to have the light apart from Jesus and apart from receiving anything from him that might put us in his debt. We want to know everything while owing nothing to Jesus. But the Apostle John makes it crystal clear in verse 9 that there is only one true light, and the light is Jesus Christ. And he says that even John the Baptist, of whom Jesus said in Luke chapter 7, 28, listen to what Jesus says about John in Luke. He says, "I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John." No one greater than John the Baptist, he said. "And yet even this great man, John the Baptist," we are told in John chapter 1, verse 8, "was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light." The light, the ability to see the truth about things, is inseparably bound up in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light, and there is no light apart from him, we're being told. And this has radical consequences for us. First, it means that we don't know who we are apart from Jesus Christ. We can't even figure ourselves out apart from him. Every claim, then, to know who we are that is not grounded in knowledge of Jesus is, in fact, darkness, is being implied. It's a deception. It's a lie. It may have some truth to it, but it's only half-truths. It's not all wrong, but half-truths are not light, is what John's saying. Half-truths, in fact, are the language of the devil, the father of lies. Therefore, every time that any of us opens our lips and says, and we say, "I am," and we fill in that blank, every time we do that and what we say is not grounded in Christ, is not something that has been received through him, then we're actually not in the light, we're in the darkness. Only when we can truthfully say, "Jesus says I am this or that," are we actually standing in light. Are we speaking truth? And the same goes for all our statements about what is right and wrong. It is only by knowing the mind of Christ that we can possibly discern what is truly right or wrong. Remember, he is the Word who was in the beginning with God. No one else besides him really understands and can parse all the things how we should or shouldn't act as we walk through life. So Jesus then is the light and no one else, John is saying. And therefore things like self-knowledge, knowledge of right and wrong, and the knowledge of purpose in life are actually impossible to know in separation from Jesus Christ. That is what John is declaring here, which is a pretty radical thing. But John is also declaring to us here that we don't want it that way. That's the way it is, he's saying. But there's something deep within us that does not want that to be the way it is. We don't want Jesus to be our only source of light. And even if we are willing to accept it, he's saying that even then, we don't want to owe Jesus anything for receiving the light that he has. We want to do something to deserve receiving it, to keep us from owing him a debt that we cannot repay. And so John declares, on account of this, on account of our love for the darkness later, we reject the light. In John 1, verse 10, John speaks of Jesus, the light, saying this. He says, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him." Now, the verb here was, that Jesus was in the world, is in imperfect tense. That means it's an ongoing action in the past. So that means that Jesus, the light, has always been in the world in the past. There's never been a time when Jesus has not been in the world. He, as the creator and sustainer of all things, has always been in and sustaining everything. And yet, we're told, despite the fact in verse 9 that he says, "This light has been giving light to every person, all humankind," we're still told at the end of verse 10 that the world, that is us human beings, did not recognize or acknowledge him. We should have recognized him. We should have acknowledged our dependence and need for our Creator simply on observing the natural world, but we are not willing to do that. And so since that was not enough to reach us, Jesus the light went further, we're told. We're told in verse 9 that the true light that gives light to every human being was coming into the world. So he's already in the world, but now he's coming into the world in a deeper sense. And we hear about that in verse 11, where it says, more literally, it says, "He came into that which was his own." So it's an awkward wording even in the Greek. Instead of saying pros, which is to or towards, it says ace, which is literally into, penetrating. So this one who's already in the world is going into it even further somehow. Now, John doesn't explain how Jesus comes fully more into the world until we get to verse 14, which we'll talk about next Sunday, the verse that says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us." But that is what's being referenced here. The Word, the one who has always been in the world, as the sustainer of all things, came deeper into the world by becoming incarnate in it, by being born as a human being on Christmas Day. And yet, listen to this, even after having become incarnate and having lived amongst his own, we're told in the second half of verse 11 that his own did not receive him. So the news is that Jesus came and he lived his whole life. He died, he rose, he ascended, and we were still in a position of rejecting the light. Therefore, John begins his gospel by painting a very dark picture of our hearts, of our condition as human beings, a condition on which he elaborates later in his gospel when he writes in John chapter 3, verse 19, he writes, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil." But praise the Lord, that's not the end of the story. For John does not stop at verse 11, but he goes on to say in verse 12, "Yet." That may be true, yet there is something else. "Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God." So all of us start in darkness. That's what's being declared. We all start as people who initially reject the light of Jesus Christ. But we do not need to stay in the darkness. Any one of us can turn and receive Jesus, and with him both life and light. And the question then is this: since we start in darkness, in opposition to the light, how do we then change and receive the light, receive Christ? Well, John clarifies that immediately. After saying to all who receive him, in verse 12, he goes on to say immediately, to those who believe in his name. That's what he means by receiving. So to believe in someone's name, then, means to believe in the whole person. Your name is the word that points to everything about you, right? That's what your name does. When people say your name, it's a pointer to everything that's you. So believing in Jesus' name means believing not in just bits and pieces about Jesus that catch our fancy, but believing in everything that has been revealed about him. And the word translated believed, which is in the past tense in the NIV, unfortunately, is actually a present tense participle. It's a continuing need we have. It's a continuing believing. We have to keep on believing, we're being told. Thus, we receive Jesus the light when we commit ourselves to a life of continued trust in everything we know about Jesus Christ. That's what's being receiving is. That's what it means to receive Jesus. It's simply to trust Jesus for all we know of who he is. That's what it means to believe in him and to receive him. Which brings up the question then, well, who can do this? Well, the good news is that all can do this. Verse 12 says, "Yet to all who receive him," and the word translated as all is actually more precisely, whoever receives him is given the authority, the power to become a child of God. And this means that there are no disqualifiers to receiving Jesus Christ, the light of the world. No matter who you are or what you have done, you can receive him. You are never disqualified from coming and receiving Jesus. And the receiving is not complicated. You know, the way that God saves us actually is kind of complicated, but receiving Jesus and all that comes with his plan for salvation is not complicated. As Dale Bruner has pointed out, John uses the word believe about Jesus dozens of times in his gospel. It's one of the central verbs in the whole book. But never once, not once, does John ever qualify that word by adding an adverb or an adjective to describe it. He never makes it more complicated than simply believing. In other words, John will not let us turn believing into a work that we do. Believing is not a work. It is not a special kind of thing that we have to do in order to receive Jesus. When we believe, when we simply trust Jesus to be Jesus for us, we are stretching out our hands to receive. That is all we're doing in that. Believing is not achieving. Believing, we're told here, is receiving. Believing in Jesus is how we receive him, and everything that happens as a consequence, because there are many things that happen as a consequence of doing that, are not things that we have done or deserve. It's not something that we have earned. Everything we receive with receiving Jesus is a gift of God's grace. It is God doing his work in us as a gift, which is exactly what John goes on to declare in verse 13. That this reward of becoming children of God, which is an amazing reward, he says, refers to children born not of natural descent, or more literally blood, nor of human decision, or more literally of the will of the flesh, or of a husband's will, that is, or of the will of a human being, but rather born of, or out of, or from God. In other words, becoming a child of God is not something that happens naturally. It doesn't just happen. We are not children of God by virtue of our blood. The fact that all people have been created by God and are equally loved by God, which is a fact, does not mean that all people are children of God. Quite the opposite. John is making clear that in the sense he's using the word in this context, child of God is something that no one can become until after they believed in Jesus Christ. Becoming a child of God is not just something that will naturally happen to you along the way. Nor is becoming a child of God something that you or I as humans get to help out with. Becoming a child of God completely excludes all help from human decision or human will. Becoming a child of God is something that comes exclusively from God. That's the point that's being made here. In fact, the final words are those words. It's not of God, it's more literally from God. We are born from him. So our believing in Jesus then contributes nothing to God's acts of him making us into our children. Believing is not a work, it's not an achieving. Believing is simply a receiving. And having simply received Jesus by faith, God simply chooses to freely give us new birth, new life, to anyone and everyone who receives his son through faith. And it is the same with receiving the life, light, as it is with receiving life. We receive the light in the same way. God freely and graciously shines light onto our path, onto the path of everyone who believes in his son. Now, as followers of Jesus, the experience, I think, doesn't always feel like that. I think oftentimes it feels like trusting Jesus with the next step ahead, when he tells us to love an enemy, for example, or when he tells us to take up our cross with something, that can sometimes feel like more darkness, I think, than light. But the declaration here is that if it is Jesus calling us to it, it is light. It is the wisest and most rewarding way to live, and we are foolish not to trust him in it. For light and life are found only in one place, John is declaring. They're only found in Jesus. We cannot have them apart from him. It's a package deal. And I think Bruner nicely sums this up when he writes, Jesus did it all. Believing in him receives it all. That is the gospel according to John. He will come back to this again and again as he goes through his gospel, that life and light are in Christ, and we receive that life and light only as a free gift of God when we receive Christ in faith. Therefore, we get back to our question, who is Jesus? Well, the only way to know who Jesus is to accept the package deal. That's the only way to really answer that question. There is no other way to know who Jesus is. In order to do that, we must put ourselves first eternally into his debt by trusting him, by believing in him, and by receiving his life, being born of God. That is the only way we can really answer the question of who is Jesus. Everyone who claims to know Jesus or to know the light in some other way is still in the darkness. That's what we're being told. Or to put this in another way, the path to knowing Jesus is the opposite of what all of us were taught to do in school. The path to knowing Jesus is the exact opposite of what we were taught to do in school. In school, we were taught to be distant and objective, to gather all the facts, and remaining outside, evaluating everything, and then only trust after that. But the true path to finding light is exactly the other direction. It starts with trust, and then it moves from trust to being guided into the light. With Jesus, we need first to trust the little bit we know about him, to receive him in faith and follow him in that, and then let him guide us into light, into the real facts about who he is, about who we are, and about where things are going. And this means, and this is a big thing, whenever you listen to a preacher, whenever you listen to anyone speak about God and the truth, I can't tell you what that is. Do you understand? I may stand in here week after week after week, but I cannot tell you who Jesus is. You can't learn that from just hearing my voice. The only thing I can do, and I won't do it as well as John the Baptist, is the same thing that John the Baptist did, was bear witness to the light, to point to the light. That, after all, is what John the Baptist did, John the Apostle did. All the writers of the Bible were pointing to the light, away from themselves. It is this witness to Jesus that we must heed and trust so that we can come to Jesus and first trust him and let him personally lead us into light. So the question, who is Jesus, starts with trust. That's how we have to answer it, with trusting witness about Jesus, the witness that we receive through the Bible. So witness is important. I'm not saying it's not important. But it's not the light. The light comes in trusting the one and only Jesus Christ. He is one that will guide you into both life and light, for life and light are only found in him. It's a package deal. Amen? Amen. Would you please bow with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word from John, which is so counter to our culture. Our culture, which feels like we're safer when we remain distant, when we doubt everything, and then somehow come to a conclusion after that. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would help us to repent from our arrogance, that we can learn through doubting. Heavenly Father, would you help us to learn through trusting? Would you help us to start with the little bit of things that we do know about you from the witness that comes from your word, and that we would trust those things, and that we would consciously lay our lives out based on those things, and that in doing that, we trust your promise that you will guide us into light, into being able to see both who we are and who you are, and the path that you long to guide us along. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, the one and only light. Amen.